friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. We're now 72 days away to the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon, the continent's premier football competition. In the opening match on January 9th, 2022, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon will host the Stallions of Burkina Faso in the capital, Yaoundé. The indomitable Lions are five-time Nations Cup champions, while the Stallions had their best result in 2013 when they were runners-up to the Super Eagles of Nigeria in South Africa. The indomitable Lions, the Stallions, the Super Eagles, and the 21 other teams that will compete in Cameroon will be allowed five additional players at the tournament. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says its decision to allow larger teams was made in case some players test positive for COVID-19. At the 2019 Nations Cup in Egypt, teams were required to register a squad of 23 players, including three goalkeepers. So, teams can bring as many as 28 players for the Nations Cup in Cameroon. For reaction to the CAF decision, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African football analyst Lacan Ige.
I think CAF is in order to have approved five additional players for teams going to the AFCON in Cameroon. I'm sure you are aware of the concerns for COVID-19 in 2020. And efforts by teams, especially in Europe, across the world, to have teams have more players, especially for substitutions and all of that, in order to mitigate the consequences of COVID-19 and to ensure that there is a fair play, there is competition among the players, and that teams are able to get enough players to play for subsequent games, just in case we have players turning in to be COVID-19 positive. So I think CAF is in order. CAF has made the right call on this one, and it's now left for teams to take advantage of whether they'll be going to the AFCON with five extra players. But I'm sure most countries would want to do this. It gives opportunity for them to also have fresh legs for every match. It ensures that they're able to make more substitutions for their teams during the AFCON. And since it is at an experimental stage, then we can only hope and believe that this will all go well for the teams going to the competition.
The Confederation of African Football says it's an option and not an obligation, and that teams will foot the bills of the five additional players at the tournament. Do you see teams accepting this offer?
Even though I would have loved CAF to foot the bills of the five extra players for each of the teams, I think most countries would love to take up this option. It gives them the opportunity to take more players along. It gives them the opportunity to also ensure that they have fresh legs for every match. In case we have concerns about people being injured, it gives them the opportunity to also ensure they bring in these additional players. I'm sure a lot of teams going to AFCON will want to seize this opportunity to cater for five extra players on the bills of the respective countries. I would have loved CAF to take care of the bills, but then I'm sure most countries will want to utilize this opportunity. I don't think it will cost so much for each of the countries to foot the bills of five extra players. So in the long run, it might just be better, you know, for AFCON. It might just be better for African football. It might be better for the players too in terms of exposure. It gives countries opportunities to bring in new players for the purpose of exposure. And who knows, some of them might just get to play in the competition. Good one too from CAF.
Do you think some European clubs will let go of players like Mo Salah for 1 month to play in AFCON?
The issue of European clubs allowing their players to travel for African Cup of Nations has once again been brought to the fore. It's not the first time this is happening. We've had situations like this in the past where some players had to, you know, shuttle between their respective European clubs and, you know, their countries playing in the African Cup of Nations. I think it's high time for football administrators in Africa to look into this. We want the best of our players to play in the African Cup of Nations. We also want these players to also do business in their respective clubs, because these clubs pay huge amount of money to ensure that these players are fit and play for their club week in, week out. So it's something that football administrators in Africa will have to look at. I'm sure some African players too would love to play for their respective countries. They also look for their football clubs, especially for those that are fighting for honors on, you know, all the on all competitions in their various in the respective countries where their football clubs, you know, reside. So if you're in the football club somewhere in England, you are playing the League Cup, you are going to play in the FA Cup, the league is there, then you're probably playing in any of the European club competitions. So it makes it tasking, really, for some of these players to show full commitment in being able to play for their countries in the AFCON. Some players might even wish their countries are eliminated early so that they can run back to their clubs and continue to do the business there. So it's left for football administrators in Africa to take a look at it. Should we fashion our calendar alongside that of Europe so that when the football season ends in AFCON, and that means we can have the availability of all our stars, you know, playing in, and this will probably rub off, you know, some shine from the competition if we don't have the best of our stars like Musala, Sadio Mane, and all of them. If they are not in the African Cup of Nations, then it means that some shine will be taken off it. So we need to structure something. We need to fashion out ways, you know, through which we can have the best of our stars playing at the African Cup of Nations. So it's left for CAF, you know, to really take a look at this calendar and see how we can structure it to ensure we have all our stars playing in the AFCON at all times.
That's African football analyst Lekan Ige. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Sunday Olise released his autobiography, Audacity to Refuse, earlier this year, in which he gave details about his football journey. And I can report it's available in paperback at Amazon.com. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In African disabled sports, South Sudan held its first ever football tournament for visually impaired players earlier this year. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Sheila Pony reports from the capital, Juba.
A team of visually impaired teens gathered at the Dr. Biaro Sports Complex in the heart of Juba for the first ever blind football tournament. It was the second match organized by the South Sudan Blind Football Association with support from Light for the World. an international disability and development organization. The 12-member South Sudan blind sportsperson squad arrived in their cribs, green and white jersey, ready for the competition. Simon Madol Akol is the coach of the blind sportsperson squad.
You see, people with disabilities are left behind in a lot of things. And one of them is education and sport. So in sport, you see, we were having fun, CAI. People were surprised. They were seeing us playing. They never knew that person who are blind can play football. It was strange. And I believe everything that a person without disability can do, a person with disability can do.
Charles Pasquale Clement is chairperson of the South Sudan Blind Football Association and a midfielder on the team.
So people are asking questions. The ball that you're playing, is it the same with the one the sight people are playing, or yours is different? And then we said, no, it is the same, but the difference is the ball that we are playing, it has got a bell inside.
The specially designed footballs help visually impaired players move the ball around the pitch and toward the goal. The special footballs, sighted goalkeepers, and guides on the field all help the five-member teams move the ball into scoring positions. Coach Akol explains how the bowlers are able to dribble and pass the ball.
We have a word called boy. This word called boy, we use it when you are attacking, because if you don't say boy, you may hit each other. So you say boy, so the person with the ball can know there's somebody coming to attack. We have guides. You see, goalkeeper also acts as a guide, because goalkeeper is always sighted. And behind the goal, there's also a guide. Behind the other goal, there's also a guide. And goalkeeper on the other side is also a guide. And then the coaches. You see, the field is also divided into three. The side of the defenders, where defenders are in, it is guided by the goalkeeper. And the people who are coming to attack are guided by the guy that's standing behind the goal. So that's how we play.
The match lasted 60 minutes as players dribbled and scored goals to the delight of fans who came to cheer on their players. South Sudan Blind Football Association Chief Clement, who is also a player, scored 3 goals in the match.
I feel very, very exciting. The most very important thing is to keep your position, the position where you're playing, and know the direction of where the goal is. By keeping that in your mind, you could be able to run with the ball very fast. And then also for you to pass the ball to your friend and to know the direction where your opponent is coming to attack you.
Beyond sportsmanship, the tournament helps train players and coaches and raise awareness among the general population.
We have a plan whereby in nearest time to come, we need to introduce more and then expand to the other states within South Sudan, so that some of our friends, some of our brothers and sisters on the other state, they could be able to join us and enjoy the full fundamental rights in aspect of human life.
For VOA News, I am Sheila Poni in Juba.
Thanks, Sheila.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016. Gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy package of African sports highlights. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a rugby tournament in Kenya. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa Sports highlights for this weekend with rugby news. The pools and fixtures for the 2021 Safari Sevens tournament, which begins this weekend, shows Uganda Lady Cranes and Titans Women Academy from South Africa will be the first on the pitch when the action gets underway in Nairobi on Saturday morning. The women's tournament will be played in a round-robin format among the five participating teams. The Lady Cranes Sevens of Uganda team last played in the Safari Sevens in the 15-0 mauling in the final against Kenya Lionesses. Charles Onen is the head coach of the Lady Cranes Sevens.
The team has arrived safely from Uganda and they are excited about the tournament and moving into the tournament. They are more excited because after 2 years of no rugby, they are excited to be back on the rugby pitch, and we are looking forward to concentrating on each game at a time to better ourselves, and we are looking at developing ourselves and building a team towards the Commonwealth Games for next year.
The women's tournament has attracted five teams. Kenya will field two teams, with Zimbabwe, Uganda and South Africa's Titan Rugby Academy rounding off the field. In automotive sports, race leader Sam Karangatha believes there is so much to play for his tussle for the coveted title in the National Autocross Championships in Kenya. With just three rounds to spare and a solitary point separating the top two in the two-wheel drive non-turbo car class, Karangatha will renew his rivalry with Dewu Cielo's Rajvir Tieti in the eighth round of the KCB Kenya National Autocross Championship, which gets underway in Gigil this Saturday.
There is pressure because we have to maintain good results in order to have title hopes for the championship. We are trying to we're not going to let the pressure put us down. In fact, it's only encouraging us to do better, to have very good preparation on the car.
The event is sanctioned by Kenya Motorsports Federation and organized by the Rift Valley Motor and Sports Club. In basketball news, all is not well with the basketball administration in Nigeria. The power tussle involving the former president Tijani Umar and Musa Kida, the immediate past chairman, became more apparent when the women's national basketball team, the Tigres, went on social media barely a month after winning a third AfroBasket title to express their disappointment over their old alliances and officials' ineptitude. An MBBF elective congress that was scheduled to hold in Benin City, Edo State, on Saturday, 30th of October 2021, has now been postponed at the last minute. Immediate past president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation, Musa Kida, bowed to the Nigerian Ministry of Sports position, suspending the MBBF elections at an extraordinary congress held on Thursday via Zoom. Permanent Secretary, Federal Ministry of Youth and Sports Development in Nigeria, Ismail Abubakar, gave further details on why they asked for a shift in the date of the elections.
There has been disagreements among the stakeholders, disagreement in respect how, with respect to how the association is being run, and we've received several complaints. There are agitations from the girls who are not satisfied with the way he runs the administration, and there is this plan for the next election to take place in Benin, in spite of the misunderstanding. So in order to address this problem, to avoid the situation from going from bad to worst, we as a management decided to issue this statement postponing the election. And it would be recalled that recently Congress election was held. The ministry is comfortable with that. However, like you might have noticed, the elections have been postponed until such a time when we're able to address the lingering crisis amicably. In addition to that, the caretaker committee, all the caretaker committees inaugurated sometimes in May 2021, are now dissolved. This we do in order to ensure that whatever crisis that exists is addressed amicably, in order to, you know, make it possible for us to have to make progress in sports administration.
In cricket news, Quinton de Kock has released a statement following his withdrawal from the South African national cricket team, the Proteas, to play the West Indies at the T20 World Cup on Tuesday. The star batsman made the decision after Cricket South Africa's directive to the Proteas players to take the knee in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. After coming under severe criticism, Quinton de Kock apologized to his teammates and fans for the hurt, confusion and anger he caused by refusing to follow a CSA directive to take the knee at the T20 World Cup and sitting out the game against West Indies. The Cricket South Africa board said that its instruction for the Proteas to take a knee at the T20 World Cup was only aimed at achieving a unified approach against racism by the team. Lawson Naido is the Cricket South Africa chairman.
Unfortunately, the team were not able to agree on a uniform or consensus position. And, you know, these discussions have been ongoing and the board kept itself apart from that in the hope that the team would resolve it amongst themselves. When it became apparent last Saturday in the opening game of the World Cup against Australia, where we had the images of the South African team, the Proteas, with three different gestures being adopted. Some players taking the knee, some players just standing and raising a fist, and others merely standing with their hands behind the back. And we as a board felt that this did not display the unity that we sought to portray to a global audience.
And now to some football news. Rwandan coach Tori Hitimana has been appointed as coach for Tanzanian giant Simba SC for the rest of the season. Hitimana replaces French tactician Didier Gomez da Rosa, who resigned on Tuesday following the club's abysmal CAF Champions League campaign, which saw them being knocked out by Botswana Mirrors, Joanneng Galaxy, over the weekend. Didier Gomez da Rosa explains why he resigned his position.
I decided to resign because the disappointment after the match on Sunday against Botswana team was very big. The disappointment, the sadness, and simply I needed to take my responsibility like head coach. It is the darkness time for Simba, for sure. We didn't expect this elimination, particularly after ending the game 1-0 at the halftime. We miss a lot of opportunity. We let too many space between our line, but you know, it was a bad moment, and for sure, I needed to take my responsibility.
Taking responsibility, that's French football coach Didier Gomez da Rosa, who has resigned as manager of the Tanzanian club Simba SC. And thanks to Samson Omale for another spicy package of African sports highlights.
Sporting greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Asafa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll explore the history and experiences of the African diaspora and how their connection to the continent has changed over generations. We'll also profile young Americans of African descent making their mark in U.S. politics. Join me, Heidi Adams, for the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. In National Basketball Association news, let's give a sunny side of sports salute for my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are off to a good start early in this NBA season. They've won four of their first five games. On Thursday night, the Wizards clipped the wings of the visiting Atlanta Hawks, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
The Wizards are 4-1 after Bradley Beal scored 27 points in a 122-111 downing of the Hawks. Montrezl Harrell had 25 points and 13 rebounds for Washington.
This is Washington. We know it's tough to win here. We know it's tough to, you know, have the fans rally behind you and the city just because they've just been through so many tough times, man. But we're trying to change that.
The Hawks cut a 20-point second-half deficit to 5 in the fourth quarter, but Harrell dunked off a pass from Beal before Beal slammed home a basket. The Hawks shot 54.5% but hit just 9 free throws and 6 three-pointers. John Collins led Atlanta with 28 points on 14 of 16 shooting. Trae Young had 15 points and 13 assists. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The New York Knicks, like the Washington Wizards, have also won four of their first five NBA games this season. The Knicks edged the Chicago Bulls on Thursday night. The AP's David Schuster reports from Chicago.
Julius Randle just missed a triple-double as the Knicks held off the Bulls 104-103. The Knicks led 104-91 with 3 minutes left, but the Bulls scored the next 12 points and had a chance to win, but DeMar DeRozan's last-second shot was way off. Randle finished with 13 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists. He says he missed some shots, but that's not important.
A win is a win. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And like Coach always says, find a way to win. So I knock them down next time, but he's happy to get a win.
For the Bulls, Zach LaVine had 25 points with Nikola Vucevic adding 22 and DeRozan had 20. And with the final result, both teams' records are now 4-1. David Schuster, Chicago.
Thanks, David. Now let's go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's where Cameroonian star Joel Embiid helped lead the Philadelphia 76ers to their third victory of the NBA season. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
Center Joel Embiid led the way for the 76ers, who held off a late Pistons rally for a 110-102 win. Embiid scored 8 points during a 13-7 run that gave Philadelphia a 6-point halftime lead. After Detroit used a 24-5 fourth quarter run to pull to within 8, Embiid hit a 3-point basket that sealed the win. Embiid had a game-high 30 points despite playing through right knee soreness.
That's what I want to do, so that's what I'm going to keep focusing on, and whatever happens, but, I'm fine.
Sadiq Bey had 19 for the Pistons, who fell to 0-4. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. From Philadelphia, let's head south to Atlanta, Georgia. That's where the Atlanta Braves will host the Houston Astros in Game 3 of Major League Baseball's World Series. The championship series is tied at 2 games each. Joining us once again with a preview is the AP's Dave Ferry.
The World Series shifts to Atlanta for Game 3 on Friday after the Braves and Astros split the first 2 games in Houston. Ian Anderson goes to the mound for the Braves in their first World Series home game since 1999.
When you have the batting champ bat in seventh, that definitely makes your lineup pretty deep. It'll definitely be a little different in playing in the National League ballpark. So I think we can use that to our advantage. But they have a ton of names and they keep coming at you. That's for sure.
He'll be opposed by Luis Garcia, who got the victory in the Game 6 clincher against Boston in the ALCS. Anderson started the NLCS clincher. It will be the first World Series pairing of rookie starters since the 2006 opener. Each team has earned 7-2 victories so far. The Astros even the Fall Classic on Wednesday as Jose Altuve homered and Jose Urquidy worked 5 strong innings. I'm Dave Ferry.
And that wraps up the October 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.